I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good because we have a chance to talk about something that is really serious, but I don't want us to be overwhelmed by it. So, you know, as all of our listeners know, we're dealing with COVID-19 right now, and everything that we thought was a constant isn't.
Except this. This is why I'm looking forward to this recording, because it's the only thing in my week that has been normal.
Wow. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my statement was not completely accurate, because there are a lot of things that are constant, and that is like change. And so the title of today's post is Leading in Uncertain Times. And it was interesting. I start off the post by saying that I received an email from a friend who simply said, here we go again. And it was interesting because he's a colleague of ours, and he wrote an email to me, and not to the rest of the staff, but the reason was because he knew I would understand it, because I'm a little bit closer to his age, not quite, but I'm pretty close to his age. And I quickly got his point. You know, these are upheavals. Now, we've never dealt with COVID-19. That's very unique. But pandemics, market corrections, times of heightened anxiety, they're not new. We've had them throughout history of mankind. And one of the things that struck me too, as I was listening to a lot of the talking heads on the news, because it's probably not good, and actually it isn't good to have the news on all the time, but I had quite a bit of time where I was just listening to the news in the background, and they start talking about all these historical events. And then you know you're getting old when you realize I lived through those. These weren't things I read about in a book or heard my father talk about. These were things I lived through. Now, the good news is, I lived through them. And everything settled down. And, you know, if we just think about in your lifetime, which is much shorter than mine, less than half mine, 9/11. Everything changed on 9/11. But we came back to a culture and a society where there was normalcy again. We had the economic crisis of 2007, 2008. Guess what? It settled down. Yes, the market reached historic sights this past year, and it's all gone. But it'll come back. So, you know, the point of my post today was there's a lot of things going wrong right now. But whenever there's a crisis, whenever there is something that's happening that shakes us to the core, there's great opportunity. And one of the things, I saw a post, and I don't remember where it was, somewhere on social media, that said, you know, this is one of the greatest times because there's no sports. There's no after-school activities. I don't know what ESPN's doing. I haven't turned ESPN on. But think about the extra time that parents now have with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that husbands and wives can spend together, because who knows, they may actually be homebound together and can't go somewhere else. What are we doing with that opportunity? You know, within MACNE, you and I have seen incredible shifts in what we're doing in just the last week. I mean, how long have you been working from home?
About 14 months.
Okay, so you've been doing it for 14 months?
Mm-hmm.
Today was my third day. So everything, I mean, I remember the meeting to Monday morning, you know, when Randy said, okay, this is what we need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of your concerns? What do we need to do? And the next point I realized was I'm going to be packing up my essentials from my office and going to my home office where I'm recording right now from. It's all different. But we've been able to do things for our membership that nobody else can do. So the opportunity for us to connect at a much deeper level with our members and prospective members is huge. We have this wonderful opportunity to make a difference in our community. So these opportunities, again, they're in our families, they're in our organizations, our corporations, our not-for-profits. We have a Wednesday night Bible study at our church. We couldn't have it. And then, oh, wait, yes, we can. And so one of the men in our church is really used to doing online teaching kind of things. At least he seemed to be pretty good at, so I'm assuming he was used to. And I just sent him a text. I said, hey, would you be willing to do Wednesday night via Zoom? And he said, sure. I mean, like, it was instantaneous, his response. I could almost sense his exuberance in his answer, even though it was a text. And then when we logged in last night, it was amazing. He created a PowerPoint. He shared a screen. We had more people tuning in than we would get on a regular Wednesday night. And the neat part was we had people from Ohio. We had people from Canada. That's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened to a podcast where a pastor said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm still going to find a way to connect. I'm paraphrasing, you know, with my congregation. And so what he did was they went completely virtual. And it was, so I kind of went to his website and wanted to see, hey, how are you doing this? And so it was really, really well done. It's a big church down in Georgia. Got lots of money for cameras and cameramen and all those things. But then they also decided that since there was a lot of time in the evenings, they would do a 30-minute Bible study families could do together kind of thing. So again, it was an opportunity that they were using. They were seizing an opportunity. And that's really what you need to do whenever there's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really thrilled to hear people saying, maybe we shouldn't have all of the ingredients for our drugs manufactured in China. You think? It probably would make more sense to have those things manufactured in the U.S. So I really think, again, I think that this is very, very serious. I don't know how long this is going to last. You know, who knows if we'll be quarantined in our homes at some point? We don't know that. But we do know it's going to be okay. And when we're done, when we get done with the financial stress and crisis and people can get back to doing what they were doing, I have no doubt the economy is going to come back. And, you know, the folks that I'm worried about the most would be like the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, because the reality is that for manufacturing, our demand hasn't really dropped. We just can't keep our factories running because we have to scale back how many people are there. So the demand is there. But I think the restaurants are going to have a challenge. But I love the opportunities. So many of them now are takeouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we did tonight and we plan to do tomorrow
Perfect.
Night and probably for many nights.
Yeah.
Because why not support them? And I don't have to cook and I can keep the food that I have in my freezer or in my pantry for another day.
And exactly. Exactly.
Might as well take advantage because, I mean, we're right. already missing it. We're like, oh, we wish we could go to a restaurant. And so if it's only been a few days and we're missing it,
yeah.
I, you know. Support them now.
So yeah, so support them. You know, so I heard another great one, buy gift certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will get cash in their doors and you'll still get to use it later on.
Yep.
So that was a great one, some great ideas. There was something that was in the second paragraph of my post that I do want to share. Because, you know, the way I wrote the post was, you know, you get on an airplane, and it says, you know, make sure that in the case of an emergency, oxygen masks will drop and secure your mask before helping someone, you know, that needs assistance. Because we got to get our oxygen masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And as leaders, we have to realize this is really hard on us. And you know, I had a pretty emotional morning this morning. Yeah, I shed some tears, but thankfully I could talk it through with my wife. She could understand why I was anxious, why I was worked up. That's just perfectly normal. But I want leaders to understand you got to own those emotions. That's securing your mask. And I, Saturday morning, as my wife and I were going to Costco to look for toilet paper. No, I'm just kidding. we weren't looking for toilet paper, but there were things we were looking for that they didn't have. But I got this text. I got a text from a coaching client. And this is what he said. I have so many people asking me how I'm able to lead in such unprecedented uncertainty. And in what I didn't put this necessarily into the post, but what he said was, I told them it's because I have you to talk to,
mm-hmm.
or a version of that. You know, I just said it's because he has a thinking partner. They're critical for us. You've got to have your thinking partner. You got to get your inner circle together. Talk through what's going on. And as you talk through what's going on, all of a sudden, the fears become problems that are manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. So that once we get our head straight, now we really need to lead. And this is where I love a phrase from my mentor, John Maxwell. He says, you know, walk slowly through the crowd. Leaders, you got to slow down right now. You got to slow down and connect with each one of your people. Don't just stand up and give, you know, these speeches to your whole team. Start with the speech to the team, but then make sure you're making contact one-on-one with the people and listen to their fears, listen to their anxieties, you know. And this isn't something that you need to do in a big room. You can do this one-on-one with people, but they just need to know that you see them as a person who really cares. You know, it's our job to have to be able to help them think it through, just like our thinking partners. Our people need thinking partners. You know, how is that young mom who now has kids that are home because the schools are closed, processing her job, her home, her life? She just needs somebody to talk it through with. And she doesn't need you to solve her problems. She needs you to listen to the problems that she has. There was a great quote that I heard, and it talked about that, you know, the poor country of Uganda, they were in decades of civil war. And during the civil war, all of the priests, the Catholic priests, always made sure they wore their collars. And the reason they wanted to wear their collars was so everyone would know where they were if they needed them. That's the job of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You got your oxygen mask fixed, you know, in place. You can breathe now. Everybody needs to know where you are. They need to know how to get a hold of you. They need to know that you're there for them. And you need to be the voice of hope and clarity. And if you don't know the answer, say, I don't know the answer. But I can tell you this. We've been through things like this before. And we came through on the other side. I read a really great piece, and I think it might have been, I don't remember who wrote it, to be honest with you. But anyways, it talked about, or the name is escaping me not right now, which is probably more the case. It is exactly the fact that the name is escaping me. But talked about, you know, how did they deal with the nuclear age? And he talked about the fact that every year in the 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s, the plague would go through London and people would die. You know, and during World War II, the bombs, the 50-some nights of the German Blitz where they were bombing London, it happened every night and people died. But life went on. And I think that's the key we all need to remember. Life will go on. There will be people that get sick. Sadly, there will be people that will die. There are people that die of the flu every year. We just don't hear about it. So we just got to say, it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be discouraged. Spend time with your family. Spend time, you know, call your loved ones. If we're practicing social distancing, we might not be able to, you know, have them all together. But you know what we do have that we never used to have in the way it's available today is FaceTime, Zoom, whatever. You know, you can pick up your phone and see somebody today. That's a great thing mm-hmm. that we have. And that's really where the technology just helps us. It helps us much better in these times of anxiety and uncertainty. Interestingly enough, during one of the crises for one of the airlines, it might have been Southwest, the CEO, and it was after Herb Kelleher, decided that he would every week send out a 5-minute video that would go to every employee, just giving them an update. And it worked so well that they just continued to do it. Just every week. This is using technology to help us. So as leaders, we may need to do that every day. We may need to place a call with people almost every day. One of the things that I think we need to do here, I'm just looking at my notes, limit your exposure to the news. If all you do is listen to these talking heads all day long, your head will explode, trust me. Because all they're going to give you is doom. Well, it probably won't explode, but doom and gloom. You know, you sit there and watch the market ticker. If that is not the most depressing thing in all the world, Here's a little bit of nugget of information for you. The markets close at 4. At 4:01, you can look at it, but don't watch it all day long. It'll drive you crazy. Be empathetic and compassionate, and don't try to settle on a position. Settle your disposition. So if I have a position, I'm making a decision on something. I'm giving my opinion on something. If I settle on a disposition, I'm settling on having a disposition of being compassionate, open, caring, yet still dealing in reality, which I think we can do. So as leaders, that's really what we need to do. We need to be that for our team. And as my old friend, and actually he wrote it this way, he said, from one old manufacturing warrior to another, this too shall pass. We've been through this before. Here we go again. So the one thing that's different this time is school is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what are you hearing from your young mom friends?
You know, it's wild, right? I mean, the school's closed very quickly here. And I've got friends with kids in all range of ages. I've got a lot of friends who are teachers. And so at first, I think there was a lot of panic, but now it's amazing. It's all like the moms have come together and the dads, I shouldn't exclude the dads, the moms and dads have come together. And it's just like, I have seen so many positive posts on social media, which is nice to balance out some of the,
that's great,
you know, fear-inducing news about all of these resources and people sharing what their schedules look like, or, you know, trying to keep routine for kids. Here's what we're doing. Here's some free apps. Here's some indoor recess or gym PE class type things that you can do when it's not nice outside. And it's been unifying in a time of distance.
And sure.
So I even have one friend who I talk with pretty regularly. Sometimes we talk on the phone. Sometimes we text. We see each other every once in a while. But now she's home with her kids full time. I've got mine. She's been sending me videos, just little short videos of, you know, she was on the treadmill the other day. And she's like, FaceTime is reading to my kids and I'm getting in a run. Just little check-ins like that. And it brought a smile to my face. I said, oh, this is the best video I've seen all day. Little things like that that help you remember why it's so important to be connected. And it truly does take a village. Today, my daughter's teacher dropped off to our mailbox a little bunny kit with some Easter activities to do and a little note. And she went to each student's home and dropped that off in their mailbox. We didn't see her, but it was just kind of like a little something to stay connected. And I know of another day school where the teacher drove around in her minivan, parked in each at the end of each student's driveway with her guitar and sang with them. She's wow. got a group of 3 to 5 year olds.
And that is so cool.
She stopped at, you know, very far away and was still able to connect. So at a time, I mean, this is not something that I've experienced before. In 2008, I was in high school. And I remember it being a scary time for my parents, but not
sure,
not really, even at that old of an age. I mean, I should have remembered more, but I didn't. And I think because the adults around me stayed calm and didn't display that fear. And so that's something that I'm trying to do for my kids. I mean, obviously Lena's pretty young, but Isla is old enough to understand. We don't have the news on. We don't listen to the news in front of her. She is oblivious to the fact that we haven't left the house. I don't think she's noticed. She loves school, but we now call it mommy school, and we do our schoolwork at home. And so, you know, I'm trying to keep things as constant for her as possible and maintaining those connections so that we still feel like we have that community.
That's great. And, you know, and these, I really believe that there are going to be so many great stories that we're going to hear. I heard one of them that my wife was sharing. It was on, I think she saw it somewhere on Facebook, but that there was, in one of the Wegmans stores. It might have been north of us at near Great Northern Mall, something like that, where two women got, one woman got to the refrigerator that had the eggs in it, and there were two dozen large eggs, and that's what she always gets, two dozen. And she grabbed the two and put them in her cart. And when she turned around, there was a woman there that was going to do the same thing. So the woman just said, here, why don't you take this one? You know, take one of these. And so the woman just, you know, was clearly delighted that she was offered the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw each other, you know, as you kind of go through the store, maybe you're following similar patterns or something. You see each other as you're passing the carts and just, you know, a smile, and they walk by. And then when the woman went to check out, the woman who had offered the second dozen of eggs, she noticed that the other woman was in the row next to her, the checkout line next to her. And when she went to pay, the clerk said, this other woman next to me just gave me $100 bill for your groceries.
Oh, wow.
And then the woman was trying to rush out to see the woman to thank her, rushed out into the parking lot, and the woman was gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just those stories we would have never heard if we hadn't gone through this. You know, yeah. I love to just hear how people are helping others. I saw a social media post where a group of young people went to sing happy birthday to a 95-year-old woman.
That's my friend's grandmother.
Could be. No, really?
It really is. Yeah.
Were they standing on the lawn?
Yeah. Yep. Grandma Byrne.
Wow.
I will give her a shout out on our podcast.
Wow.
She was like everyone's grandmother at Bishop Ludden. I went there for a couple of years. My brother went there from 7 through 12. And she was just like just a mainstay at Ludden. And she's got a whole gaggle of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And they sang happy birthday to her yesterday from afar in the yard, in the street.
And I just pulled it back up. It is so cool.
Yeah.
And so they're holding little signs.
And balloons. And
that every person has another letter and it says like happy birthday.
Yeah. And it's gone viral.
That is so cool.
It was on Good Morning America's social media. It was on E! News. Wow. It was on our local news. Yeah, it was so cool.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that is awesome. So like you know, the moms and dads helping each other, figuring out how to do school, figuring out how to just entertain your kids type of thing.
Yeah.
People taking care of neighbors. You know, one person on one of our work calls today said, you know, make sure you go out. If you have a neighbor that's elderly, just go out and say hello, just, you know, from the yard,
mm-hmm.
make connections to people. We wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Had we not had this. One of the things that I started doing, and thankfully my wife reminded me to do it, was just calling people from my church. Because if I see him once or twice a week, you don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But just giving them a call. Hey, how are you? Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need anything? Wow, you think they just won the lottery. They get so excited.
Yeah.
And all I did was make a 3-minute phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. That's the opportunity in this. When we lead in uncertain times, it's hard on us. It's going to be exhausting. You're exhausted for a part-time worker. You're working really full-time this week for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you work almost full-time every week. But it's tiring, it's exhausting, but take a moment, process your emotions, work them through, find happy social media posts like the one about you said it's your friend's grandma, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's her 95th birthday.
Yep.
So cool. Find those opportunities, and it will change you as a person if you engage in those type of things. And that's the goal. So, you know, as humans, we don't like to change. But when there's a crisis, we have to change. And it almost always moves us to a better place. Look for the better place. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about.
Good stuff in a time that's can be a little scary.
And, you know, journal it. Mm-hmm. That would, you know, think about the journaling that people are going to be able to do that might be really amazing. Hey, the one person that experienced having somebody buy her groceries. She put it on social media because she wants to find the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But just think about journaling how you feel and sharing that with your kids, your grandkids. It'll be awesome. So what do you have a, we're going to switch gears completely. So do you have a bucket list for spring?
No, not yet. And I don't think
there's no time, right?
I know today is the day we're recording. It's now spring, the first full day yet, but today it became spring at one point. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, because I don't know when we'll ever leave the house again.
Yeah. Well, but you know, you'll leave the house. You probably just go out in the yard. So, right. I mean, there's tulips, there's daffodils.
Well, we have crocuses, tulips and I had to go to Target for some essential items. I am practicing social distancing, but I did need diapers. So
that's important.
Don't shame me for going to Target, but I went and I did pick up some little tiny garden gloves for Isla that'll fit her hands perfectly, and some seeds. So we will do that. And that'll bring her a lot of joy. She's already been asking when she's going to plant her flowers, but last year she planted actual like flowers. This year we're doing the seeds because I think she's finally ready.
Good.
So you know, we can add that to the unofficial bucket list.
It'll be great, you know. And really, you haven't had time to do your bucket list because Macney's had you running day and night. So
no, you know, and I need the weather to break for it to really feel like spring.
Okay, all right.
So soon.
Well, soon, very soon. And I have no idea what we're talking about next week. I'm sure something will pop up. So, all right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
This was The Next Page.